easy, 'cause I want you, baby. But you don't, so get out, get out, get out, get out.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Kate Quigley. This is Date Fails. I'm super excited. I'm actually in Las Vegas right now. I'm performing here this week, and I'm here with two of my very good friends who are very hilarious comedians, and I thought, why the fuck not do an episode of Date Fails right here? We're actually at the Laugh Factory in Las Vegas. I'm so excited you guys are here. First of all, my illustrious, beautiful, and talented friend and hot, sexy comedian, Bronston Jones is here.
She set it up like it was going to go the other way.
That's right. Bronston Jones hosts one of the best shows in LA, Venice Underground, at Townhouse, Wednesday nights at 10. And he just came back. 9:30. Kidding. 9:30 p.m.
If you get there at 10, you won't get in.
You're right. Actually, it's always crowded. It's always like standing room only.
We turn away 50, 80 people every week.
It's amazing.
It's awesome.
And you just got back from the Edinburgh Fringe Festival.
I'm not just back, but I've been back. I go there. So if you're listening to this overseas, get to the Fringe this summer. I'll be there.
Oh, it's in the summer? Where were you? You were just on like a long...
I was on a Midwest tour.
Oh, you were on a Midwest tour.
Yeah.
He's always traveling somewhere. Okay, hold on. I got to introduce my other guest, who is also illustrious and hot and sexy and beautiful, but also does not have a penis like Bronston. She's amazing. She's been on Chelsea Lately. She's been on The Tonight Show. She's been on MTV. Shema Tosh, everyone.
Woo! Yeah. I like how you, I think we both looked at each other when you said that. She doesn't have a penis.
Also, like Bronston, no penis. I was like, wow, I wasn't going to get into that. That's when my date usually fails at that point.
I didn't mean it like that. I sound like I've been drinking and I'm just on a Vegas high. I'm on a Vegas high. That's what happens to you.
I'm high in Vegas.
Oh, so Shema and I have been talking like all week long about, I think this should be called the sociopath episode of Date Fails, because Shema and I have been talking here about how we are both attracted to sociopaths as our favorite type of man.
It's not intentional. It's not intentional.
Not on purpose.
Yes.
Yeah.
They just
I'm a total sociopath. So, hey,
are
what's
you?
Going on, ladies?
No, you're
self-aware.
You're
sociopath.
Not.
You can't. It's so rare that they're self-aware that I know you're bullshitting.
No, I've been diagnosed. I didn't say I was aware of it. I just
you
do
have
it.
Not.
Oh, you know that you've been diagnosed.
He's kidding.
Oh my God! You see Kate's face.
Because I know, because we've been friends for so long, and in my mind, I'm like, maybe that's why I like him.
That's hilarious. No, you would know.
No,
you would know.
No, I'm an empath. I'm very.
Are you?
Yeah.
I am a narcissist, though. I scored really high on the narcissistic inventory, personality
really?
Inventory. Yeah.
Well, you know, I mean, there's a lot of arguments within the industry mm-hmm. of mental health that whether or not one is different than the other. And to me, I think, you know, what I heard from actually Sam Vaknin, who is like the authority on this subject, is that a narcissist is just motivated for different things. Like the narcissist wants attention, whereas the sociopath or the psychopath wants power and money.
What is a sociopath?
The narcissist will, and I will get to that, the narcissist will acquire money and power, but it's really just for the attention.
Yeah.
A sociopath, you know, there are different terms, and they use those sociopath and psychopath interchangeably. Some say that the only discerning thing, and this is again argued within the industry, but a sociopath was created by social circumstances, whereas the psychopath has literally mental disorder,
like chemically imbalanced.
Chemically imbalanced. Yeah, okay. It's a personality disorder, not a mental disorder. But yes, it's.
I love that you're a comedian and also like an expert on sociopathic personality. Because she really
it's a
is.
Niche thing. It's a niche thing.
It's crazy though, because this week, like everything I talk about when it comes to like the kind of guys I'm attracted to, she's like, "Oh yeah, no, I've studied this, and you have literally like more information on sociopaths than anyone I've ever met."
Yeah, it's you know, thanks to Sam Vaknin, who is himself a narcissist, full-fledged narcissist.
The reason I found out about my score is Dr. Drew, who, mm-hmm. of all people, who I was like, I'm not going to want to read his book. He wrote a book called The Mirror Effect. Look it up. It's great. Mm-hmm. And the book is about basically how children mirror everything they see these celebrities do now, like not realizing, oh, that little picture of her, you know, so-and-so climbing out of the limo with her bush hanging
yeah.
out. or lack of.
Yeah.
And these little girls mimic it, and they send it out not realizing it's on the internet. It lives forever. Nothing dies. And then he starts saying that during his love line, he's handed out this personality. It's an actual test that psychologists give. And it's 26 questions, and you have to answer yes or no. There's no, mm-hmm. like, there's no gray area, and you just have to choose one, right? And he says he's handed out to several thousand guests, and they're mm-hmm. all celebrities of different forms. Mm-hmm. And what he's found out is he goes that the national average is, 15, which just means you're, a normal human being getting mm-hmm. through the world. Like, a movie star tends to get, an 18 or 19, a celebrity mm-hmm. star. But somebody who's, an actor who disappears, like a character actor, he'll get lower than 15 because he's so empathetic that he can figure out how other people work.
Oh, wow.
And then as you get to lead singers in a band will score higher than the bass player, somebody who's backing him up because they're I want the limelight. Wow. And then he goes, reality stars are actually picked because they're that way. That helps in casting. You're that guy's crazy. Let's book him because he's nuts and put him in a room with that person who's nuts.
I mean, that's unpredictable.
And comics scored just below, above all the other celebrities, just below that. And it's because narcissism is a multiple thing where one is you don't take anybody's advice because you just think I could do it on my own. Nobody's going to tell me better. Part of narcissism is how you look. And when you take the test, you actually get your scores and they tell you which questions actually affect what. Mm-hmm. I score a zero on how I look. I don't look in mirrors because A, I can't see most mirrors because they're mm-hmm. below my head. Mm-hmm. And I'm so tall, I don't care what I look like. I know people are looking at me. I don't have to. Mm-hmm. That just happens. Mm-hmm. But I score on that on – I score high on the I won't listen to other people's things. If somebody gives me some kind of push, I'm do you know who I am? Not like an asshole, but I'm do you know who I am? I can deal with this. And there's
– Yeah, I got things. This. I got this.
You should take the test. It's great. We can everybody download it.
I've taken it too.
I actually took the test. I read it. Strangely enough, Thanksgiving, this is Vegas. In Vegas, this is how you could conceivably spend your Thanksgiving with three lounge singers, two thunder dancers, a showgirl, and a gay FBI agent. I just say gay FBI agent because it's another element.
It is more interesting. It adds a layer.
So we took this test and
don't ask, don't tell. I'll ask the questions around here.
Yes, but I was I'm very much empathetic, but I mean every human being is to a certain degree narcissistic. It's just a matter of where you fall on that scale.
But here's something that's really interesting that I never thought about before. I'm extremely empathetic. I mean, I'm so overly sensitive mm-hmm. to other people's feelings that I tend to be a pushover and get walked on in relationships. But I also think I'm a pretty extreme narcissist. I can't walk by a mirror without looking in it.
But
that might be insecurity.
It might be that because...
Well, narcissism is insecurity. Yeah. It's you're looking... the reason comics have it too is think about this. We're telling our deepest, darkest secrets that you might not even tell your therapist. You're telling it to 150 people in a crowd that you don't know because you know they'll laugh and they'll like you for this secret.
Yes.
Yes.
So
it's true.
That's one of the things in there is telling people stuff you shouldn't tell people because
That's a codependent trait as well.
I always do that.
It's the minute you meet somebody.
Yes.
Yeah. We should do a follow-up to this episode where we've all taken it.
I honestly think
you'll score very high.
We should pause this and we should all take the test and then come back and talk about our results. We're going to do that. So how does this affect – so you're saying that – Bronson, you're like me. You're really empathetic, but you're also a narcissist.
I need – my dad left when I was 7, so I have this hole in my heart that I need people – that I'm getting my love that I didn't have from him from these 150 strangers.
And there's the distinction is that you actually are empathetic, as are you, as am I. And I think that's the thing that – we might be narcissistic, but I don't think that comedians are necessarily, by and large, psychopaths because a psychopath or a sociopath, they have no empathy. I mean, that's one of the – I mean, not all of them.
We're damaged
goods
looking for something. They just want the power or they want
That checkbox of literally not having any feeling about something – or empathy is the reason that not all of them are, serial killers, but that's the reason that they can, because they can disassociate. They can
Have you seen this? Is there studies that show that people who, people who go into finance and banking and mm-hmm. like stock traders is, I think it's the national average is maybe 1% of people are psychopaths. And then their business is 15-20%. Because it's a business that attracts that kind of personality. You go, oh, I don't give a fuck what happens to these poor people in the middle of nowhere.
Oh,
I'm just
going
to foreclose on their houses. No big deal, because I don't give a shit. I just want the money. Because you really can't go.
For them.
There's a fucking family that's on the street.
Yeah.
Because they're like, ah, fuck them. They shouldn't have bought the house.
Yeah.
Stupid.
No empathy. And that's the thing that I think makes it a huge difference. Like, you can date a narcissist and they might be selfish because, you know, to the point where it's kind of crippling and it does damage the relationship. But a psychopath will literally get off on seeing you in pain. And that's when it gets dangerous.
But they're also so good and bad.
I like choke fucking.
They're the best. I know you do. Wait, oh, Bronson and I, this is kind of how we became friends. Like, one of the first times we ever met.
The first time.
Was it the first time?
Yeah, remember I showed you that picture? I posted that the other day. It was like two years ago.
It was not the first time we hung out. The first time we hung out was in Venice, and we did not talk about choke fucking.
Oh, no, it was the first time we hung out at some guy's party.
But then the first time we hung out again after like a Jay Davis show on a Monday night.
And at the dark room.
At the dark room, and we started talking about how much he likes choking people during sex, and I started talking about how much I like to be choked during sex, and we like instantly bonded.
No, we didn't instantly. We instantly had an emotional connection, but I thought we were going to hook up.
You did?
I was like, she likes choke fucking, I like choke fucking.
That's it. Done deal.
I told you that I didn't. Didn't I tell you that I didn't hook up with comics before that conversation?
No, because you told me about something else.
I told you about a comic I hooked up with, a little fat, a little fat, tiny-dicked Korean comic that doesn't know a clit from an asshole. That comic?
Does the comic have a name? Does the
comic, I'm not getting involved in this.
Somebody in particular?
I mean, he doesn't have a name. He will always remain nameless and forever now will remain a black coal in my heart. I can't believe we're talking about this. Never mind. Moving on. I forgot that I'm not talking publicly about this.
Too late.
This got awkward fast.
Yeah, no.
Yeah,
it's okay.
No, it's fine. I dated a comic who decided to go on a podcast and talk about our sexual relations that I had never publicly spoken of before. And I found out through Instagram, because my Instagram followers started making very lewd comments about my ass related to this person. And so I had to call him and say not very nice things to him, which, you know, I just basically told him to fuck himself. And he apologized.
You're not even gonna post this now.
I know.
Edit this part out. Edit it out.
No, it's fine. You know what? The people should know.
They should.
And by the way,
people should know.
For the record, he's very funny and has a very kind heart. And I truly believe that it was a dark day in his life.
Oh, nice, nice backpedal. I don't think she meant
that's not the part people quote. So
anyway, moving on.
Back to dating, dating fails.
Back to dating psychopaths. Mm-hmm. Is that what we're talking about?
Yeah. So how many psychopaths do you think that you have dated?
Actually, I think literally I've dated two complete sociopaths.
And
one for a year.
What was the worst thing about that relationship?
The best thing was the sex with both of them. And we've talked about this, like sex with sociopaths. I don't know what it is. It's incredible.
Well, for one, they mirror you. That's one of the tactics that they do is they study you and they find out what makes you tick. And then they basically mirror you personality wise, sexually. They say that their goals are in line with what you want in your life.
Yeah. But see, like an empathetic person also mirrors you because like, I've been told by a lot of different people that I'm a good kisser. And it's because I kiss them the way they're kissing me because it just makes it easier.
It does.
And so if you're making out with somebody and they start like jamming their tongue in your throat or something, then I'm never going to see this person again.
Yeah.
But they don't realize that they're doing something like that's awful.
Well, yeah. I mean, there's a difference between like matching somebody in bed and like trying to like, you know, split the difference. That's a horrible choice of words, but anyway, but you know, that's one thing is, you know, trying to be in unison, but a sociopath, not just sexually, but personality wise, they'll just watch you and they'll study the things that are your dreams, your insecurities. They'll exploit your insecurities. They'll say that they have the same dreams and likes that you do in a way to manipulate you. And it's all like premeditated. That's the difference. It's one thing to want to relate to somebody, right? And it's another to completely lie and put on a facade as if you're somebody completely different because you know at the end game is you destroying them.
It's different. When you talk about the worst thing in those relationships, both of them, it's the same thing, which is like, these guys are so good at starting out saying everything you want to hear. Like, they know exactly what to say to make you fall in love with them. But then what they start to do is like, put like stick little jabs in there where they give you like little insults to make you feel like you're not quite good enough. Mm-hmm. And then they start to pull back on the compliments, pull back on all the nice things. And then before you know it, you're trying to get back. You're trying to get them to behave the way they were in the beginning.
That's the abuse. That's the cycle of abusive relationships, whether it's mental, emotional, or physical, is what a man or, you know, I guess there are some women who do it too. Actually mentally. Probably a lot of women do it.
Yeah.
But physically, like a man will like, he'll like beat up a woman and then later be like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I would never do that. And he's so nice. And the woman's like, oh, maybe, you know, maybe he's nice. And they also beat them down so psychologically that they think that the only person who can lift them up again is that person who knocked them down.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's not until they're out of it with some serious therapy that they get through
it. But also women. Well, this is the thing. I like to be like a little dominated in bed, but I'm such an alpha female that I like a guy that will like kind of dominate me in that department because it's the only place that I ever get like controlled by a guy in some regard.
Yeah, submissive, and you can release a little bit. Somebody else is taking charge.
Yeah, I like that. But but the thing is, I was going to say is like women respond to words. And we should respond to actions, but men know we respond to words. So I feel like these guys, like that beat up women, they know exactly what to say, and women hear the words, and because we're verbal, and guys know that.
Yeah, and what you were saying, Bron, is that they become addicted to all of those good feelings because, and we were talking about this yesterday, right, Kate? The guys who give compliments right up front. It's called love bombing. There's actually a term for
it. Love bombing?
Love bombing. And what they'll do is they'll like send you like massive.
I got Urban Dictionary. It's a totally different description for that one.
Yeah. It's they'll send you like a massive amount of texts and then they'll send you like, you know, emails and it's a lot of adoration. And then you become almost dependent on that. And like people like us that like thrive on attention and the affirmation of another human being, like giving them accolades or making them feel appreciated. Like we succumb to that more than the average person. So, I mean,
we need therapy.
I've done a lot of therapy. I've done a lot of therapy. I literally went twice a week for like almost 3 years in a row. And then, with my ex, I went to couples counseling and read, but here's the problem. When you go to counseling and you read all these books on relationships and how to make them work, you're reading a book based on another healthy person. So I was wondering why none of these things that I'm doing, that I'm taking all the advice from this book and it's not working, because when you show vulnerability to a normal person, it makes them feel drawn to you. But if you do it with a sociopath, they hold you in contempt and they want to punish you for it. So it's actually adding gasoline to the fire. Fuel to the fire. I don't know.
I got to tell you guys tell me your problems really makes me hate you guys a lot. So can we have sex now?
Yeah. He just really wants to choke you.
Honestly, it's like, even though I talk about it and even when I see it happening, like there's a guy I've been talking to recently who at the beginning would call me, text me almost every hour, FaceTime me every day. It was so into me. And then all of a sudden it was like a flipping of a switch, just backed way the fuck off. And he's still there. No sex. It wasn't a sex thing. Nope.
No, but she wants to take it further, right?
Like, yeah.
No, but see, here's the thing though, is there is the chase. This is definitely a male. This is a hunter thing.
Yeah.
Is the chase is fun.
Yeah.
And if you get it, then the rest of it has to be fun. And if you realize, oh wait, I don't really give a shit about all these other things about a person. I was really just kind of chasing her to see if I could get her. Now that I have her, I don't want her because I don't want all that. So you might have revealed in the text that you were going to fuck them. And he goes, I already did
that. That's it. You know that's it.
Now that I have that power.
It's the sext. If you give up the sext too soon.
Yeah,
I gave up.
It's not too soon. It's just got to be with the right person. Because then you're like, okay, sex isn't the only thing I'm looking for. Now I want to hang out with this person.
Yeah.
So I was hanging out with this woman a couple months ago, just so they'll figure it out. Not that they're listening to your podcast, they probably do. But she started, it was like, yeah, when we finally hooked up, that was cool. But then she started texting me all the time to come over. And like, literally, I just went like this is too easy. And I was just like, I don't want to fuck you. I got to go over to fuck her now. You know, like I started thinking to myself.
That really happens to guys. You have to always make them feel like they're chasing you forever.
Here's the thing, though. And I think that from time to time. But the truth is, you know, there's a lot of people that are in relationships that the guy's not chasing the girl anymore. And I think the thing that makes it different is that you spend enough time with that person to where they value you for things other than that, because in the beginning, they're only going to be thinking that. For the most part, that's the primary focus, is getting laid or having sex with you or getting you.
Well, if you're attractive.
Yeah. And then, but beyond that, right?
Well, exactly. Then why would you be out with them if you're not attractive?
Because those are just friends. Those are fun people to hang out with.
Oh, right. I forgot
but
about
like
those.
Dating guys.
Like we hang out.
That's about
we
it.
We hang out,
because
right?
We're attracted to each other.
I'm not attracted to you at all.
You lie.
I find you,
you
ugly
are.
And
liar.
Hideous. Shh. I'm trying to work this around.
Okay, sorry.
I'm trying to make her want it so much she's going to chase
me. Keep saying it. Keep saying it.
Game.
It's
going to
work. Actually, if you completely started treating me like an ugly piece of shit, we'd probably end up fucking.
Yeah, that's horrible.
That's horrible.
Yeah,
but
this
it's
is
the
why
truth.
We're gonna have
we're gonna
a
work
boot
on
camp, a self-esteem boot camp next time you come out here.
This is what's weird, though. I feel very confident. Like, I think I have a great person. I mean, I don't want to, like, I think I have a good personality. I'm smart. I'm decently funny. I'm in shape. I'm not ugly. And I feel all those things about myself. And I know from the outside, I'm like, I'm a good catch. But then, obviously, there's some massive insecurity.
What happened to you as a child?
I don't know.
Do you? He's... Bron said he was abandoned. I feel like I was neglected and abandoned.
I was abandoned,
degree, and I think we're
by
all,
several
yeah.
men.
Yeah,
yep.
You had mentioned
a
that
few in a row. Yeah, so I do have really yes, what it is. I have really bad abandonment issues. So I think I'm attracted to men who I know are unavailable. Even if consciously I'm like, this one's available. This one wants a relationship.
No, because you don't want to be with some like because if you allow yourself to fall in love with somebody is you think that they're going to leave because that's been your experience.
Right.
And so then the second there's the slightest chink in the armor is I tend to do this is where as soon as something small happens, I'm like, go fuck yourself. And I freak out
I do
and
too.
Throw them away. And usually, and I usually try and do it in such a brutal way. It's such an asshole thing to do because I'm really trying to go, you'll never come back. But I chose this. And then the next day, of course, I feel like a piece of shit.
Yeah.
Then you got to work it out. And then all of a sudden you end up in one of these on again, off again.
The nightmare of all time.
It wasn't until I had therapy where my therapist said, so if anybody else has abandonment issues and you do what I said, is she told me whenever I get in that fight is to stop myself, which is why you shouldn't be drunk when you're fighting. Mm-hmm. Stop yourself and go, are you fighting with her or are you fighting with your dad right now? And once you can take that second to go, oh, fuck, this is such a small, stupid thing. Why am I freaking out? She's not going to leave. Like,
Peter. Yeah. Yeah. Well, here, that's so true. And it's also, I think it's basically the same thing that you're saying, which is like, oh, I'm feeling close to this person and I'm starting to feel really vulnerable, you know, because I feel so close to them. And now it's like, I'm kind of dependent on them for these good feelings, whether they're a sociopath or not, like you're into somebody and that, you know, that leaves you open to being hurt. And so I feel like it's the times that I've done something similar to that is just like just to try to, all right, no, I don't have to deal with this now. Like, well, he did this little thing and that means he's probably going to do X, Y, and Z. So let me just get it over with now before he, you know, rips
my heart
out. That's
what I do. I push them away before they can like hurt me. But then, I'm so fucked up. This is a great episode. I'm sitting here and I'm like, all right, here's what I'm going to do. This is my new tactic to completely date off type. Anyone I want to sleep with, I'm going to not date. And anyone that I'm like, I would never want that guy is who I'm going to date.
Do that Ron, episode you're of Seinfeld in. Where George does opposite George. They go, whatever your instinct is to do the opposite. And all of a sudden he just becomes the winner who has beautiful girlfriends and everything. He's like, I was going to tell that guy to go fuck him. But then I was like, you're a nice guy.
I really think that's what I should do. Like, that's and by funny. The way, if anyone is listening who knows how to make apps and like create apps, here's an app that needs to exist. Okay. I have an extreme problem with texting. What I do, like what you're talking about, Bronson, where you like go crazy and push the person away so hard that they'll never want to come back. I do that, but I do it through text. Like I'm the girl that will have like a whole conversation with myself through text and go through like 50,000 emotions and send 100 text messages until the guy is like, this bitch is so fucking psycho. And what I need is an app where I can like put these people into the app. And once they're in the app, someone else has control over my phone for those people so that I absolutely, no matter what, like, cannot text them.
Or, okay, how about this? It's I've done the same thing, and I've also received these from people.
Okay.
Is if you text more than, say, a certain number of characters within 5 minutes. So it's not even based on, girls tend to do like 4-word text, but like 10 of them, I tend to write a really long one. So I could get away with, it can't be based on how many texts, because I'll be like, yeah, I wrote a fucking novel.
I do long ones
texts.
Too.
Yep.
Is so many characters, and then you're not allowed to text that person for 10 or 15 minutes. Meaning it gives you, it makes you go,
minutes?
Ah,
how about days?
Yeah.
It should be 24 hours. It should
no,
be
No, but
like,
you might actually be in a conversation with somebody where you might need
no,
to text back and
reply,
forth.
No, if they reply, you can text. But there should be, that's brilliant. There should
only
be an app.
Reply.
Yeah, there should be an app that if you send more, then you can set whatever it is. Like if you send more than 100 characters to a person, you can't text them again until they reply. That's brilliant.
That's great.
How do we get the
psycho
then,
alert?
But see, here's the thing. I'm such a psycho that then I would just go DM them on like on Facebook, and then I would DM them on Instagram, and then I DM them on Twitter, and then
I've had conversations now that have gone from text into Skype into Facebook, and then I just took it to email just to be like, let's just fucking get everything I can do here.
There's too many ways to stalk now. That's the problem.
That's the problem too. Is that like I also have a temper issue where I block guys on things. And then I feel like it drives me insane not knowing if they're messaging me or not. So then I unblock them, then I block them again, then I unblock them. Like, I've had a guy this week that I've blocked on Facebook 3 times, which is really hard to do because you have to wait 48 hours before you can block them again.
Wow.
Wait, they make you actually wait?
Yeah, when you unblock someone, Facebook is like, nah, bitch, you cannot block
them. Oh, you know why? People were probably like unblocking you to do all this shit to you, and then they block you again. And so they went, no, if you unblock them, you do shit to them, you got to suffer the consequences for 2 fucking days.
Yeah.
Revealing psycho. What a psycho I am on this episode.
But you know what? Here's the thing, though. I mean, there's a difference between someone being a legit psycho and then somebody having to deal with crazy-making behavior and reacting the way any normal person would if they were facing crazy-making behavior. I mean, there's a reason that term exists. I didn't make it up. It's crazy-making. It's engineered behavior. Or behavior that's designed to engineer a reaction from you.
Well, see, that's the thing. I only go that crazy under one circumstance. And this is the circumstance. When someone ignores me. That is the only time. And
I'm
I
wasn't listening.
It's when they ignore me and I can tell they're doing it venomously. Not like they're ignoring me because it's over and I won't stop messaging them. And they're like, you're a crazy bitch. Go away. But I mean like, when they're engaging with you and then all of a sudden they just don't answer you and then you send them a naked photo and then they don't answer that.
That's the worst.
Look, if I send a guy a naked photo and he opens that shit and doesn't answer, that motherfucker
is gay.
Dead to me. Like, I will never send you another naked photo again. Yeah, I just use a real comic's name.
You're
what is
bleep
wrong
it.
She's not even a
bleep
real person.
It, bleep
That's
it.
Getting bleeped, Maria. Maria's my producer. Bleep that name, Maria.
You bleep.
We're here at the Laugh Factory, and I'm actually hosting the show right now. So here's what's happening. I'm going to go back on stage, but you guys, please keep talking because there's more time on this podcast. So I'm leaving shame on Bronson to keep having relationship talk. I'll be back.
All right. Cool.
Okay, so
there's a piece of work, huh?
She's a hot piece of ass.
Hot mess.
What guy is not texting her back after she sends a picture? Like, that's the part I don't understand. Like,
because once you have it, then you're like, I got it.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's why you got to hold out. This is for the ladies out there. Hold out. Because I know there's a lot of guys that would love to fall in love, but we don't give them an opportunity to. Let's be honest. I mean, sometimes, you know, we're the ones in control. I hate to say it, and it's a lot of responsibility because sometimes we just want to fuck you. You know what I mean? We just like, I want to get laid. But
well, I mean, we're biologically programmed as males of a species to run around and try and shoot our seed into anything and everything that will take it. And biologically, females are programmed to be like, no, I can only do this once every 9 months. I have to be selective. And so we get into this
selective thing. And I talk about this on stage is that, you know, guys use that excuse. And it was like based on, you know, a guy trying to actually get away with cheating, using that as an excuse. So, yes, men do feel the need on some kind of in some kind of biological way the reptilian brain or whatever is driving that behavior, they want to inseminate as many women as possible to ensure survival of the species. Yes.
No, I'm not saying it's an excuse for cheating. I'm saying it's an excuse for you guys being selective.
It's the reason though that guys, you know, have a harder time being one. They have like 20 times more testosterone, you know, running through their veins, but also because they are designed to want to inseminate a bunch of women,
yeah.
But women consequently are designed to select the superior male specimen. So that means, you know, we could also use that as an excuse conveniently. Not that that's what you were doing, but we could use that as an excuse to cheat as well. And guys would hate it because we would just turn it around and say, well, look, you know, a woman's role is to select the superior male. So I got to fuck your friend Steve. Like I just now there's
me and all my friends are fucking Steve. We're part of his pride. And right. You get out of here, beta male.
Yeah,
you can beat
that's
up
right.
Steve. You're allowed in.
Yeah. Get out, beta. Yeah, I can't help it, honey. I know it's your brother, but, you know, he's got better genes.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he was adopted because clearly look at that bone structure. You didn't get it. Yeah.
Well, what was your mom drinking when she was pregnant with you?
Right? I mean, geez. But, yeah. So who are you dating now? Are you dating anybody?
No, nobody. Nothing.
When's the last time you were in a relationship?
A serious one? Years ago. I do find that I tend to, because for the last 4 years I've gone to Scotland for 6 to 8 weeks, I'm over in the UK, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I tend to meet somebody that will become very serious and like might be real within February and March. And then just as there's enough time where I'm like, oh, I think this might actually be something that's going to be real, I fuck off to the summer for 2 months. And then...
And it loses steam.
Yeah. And then you get back and you're like nobody's waiting around for 2 months for somebody they just met.
Not these days.
And no.
Yeah. You know, back in the day when you'd have to, you know...
Yeah.
Send a canary or something to send a message, you know, that those people had to.
Yeah,
on Facebook.
I think it is difficult too with what we do to have a relationship with a normal human being, because a normal person wants you to sit around at night with them and like, oh, let's, you know, cut around and watch a movie, or let's go to my friend's birthday party. I'm like, I'm not going to your girlfriend's birthday party. I got a gig.
Right.
Doesn't even pay, but I gotta go.
Yeah, that's the thing. And that's why I see these relationships where a lot of times guys will be dating a woman and she's so supportive and, it's not as readily available for women in my experience that a guy would just like come around with you to gigs and like be supportive.
Come on. He's got to laugh. I mean,
yeah.
You know.
Well, my friends will like,
women aren't funny, right?
my guy friends, that they'll have like a wife that takes care of the kids while they're out on the road and all that kind of stuff. And I know the distance makes it difficult, but you know, they're like, what? You're going to have kids? Why don't you have kids? I'd be like, well, I don't have a man to stay at home and watch my kids. Like, I can't pursue this career and have... It'd have to be like a house husband.
I think... Yeah, you'd have to be making enough to support him to do that. I think it is also... This is biological, I think, is that women are more empathetic because you guys are programmed to take care of the next one that comes out, whereas we're out going to fucking make another one or hunt or whatever. Is that I think it's harder for men to be as supportive, and maybe it's sociologically programmed into us.
Yeah.
So if you're dating a new guy, he's not going to come to every show. Whereas I've started dating girls, and they want to come to every show, and I go, you know what? Can you not come to everyone?
Right.
Like, because, A, you're going to get bored. Just come to the ones I care about. Like, I'll be like, no, this one's important to me. Come to this. Or I got this new thing. You're going to see it.
Yeah.
But I'm like, I don't know.
Double-edged sword there.
It is.
Having them there every night. Yeah. I know the feeling of when you have, like, even friends that have just seen your act recently and you're like, you know, there's going to be a lot of the same stuff tonight that you saw last Tuesday.
But it's not fixed yet either. I'm sorry. Still sucks. Don't come yet.
It's still shitty. So you want to just, you know, grin and bear it. But, I mean, the distance, the traveling makes it really difficult. I don't even know what kind of guy would be a good partner for me in this industry.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, what have you found is in terms of women?
Well, this is something I actually was talking to Spencer when you guys, I don't know, she was changing and you were somewhere, but we were talking about, he's just like, oh, what are you doing? You date anybody? I'm like, nah, I've been on the road. No. And, I said something like, I would never date a comic. I could only date a comedian if the comedian was very funny, like like truly funny person at a certain level in her career, where if she has a bad set, I don't have to lie and go, oh, that was good.
Right.
I can be like, they were terrible or you were terrible. And they would be like, oh, I know. And it's just a professional thing.
Yes, yes.
But it's also like I couldn't support somebody and be like, oh, my God, you were great. If it's not even that I was a bad night. It's just that they aren't good.
Yeah, no, that's like, too awkward. It's yeah. way too awkward.
You can't lie to somebody. About... Not about comedy.
Yeah.
I can lie to them about their other jobs. Oh, yeah, the haircut looks great.
Right, right. But, yeah, about comedy, it's tricky. Yeah. And we're talking about...
not dating comics.
No!
And the types of people that would be good for a comic to date, given what we do. Flight attendant.
People that hate themselves. People that want to date an extreme narcissist.
I don't think that's always the case.
I'm kidding.
When we're talking about because of the travel and also just it's a night job, you know, like it has to be somebody who had, maybe, like you say, flight attendant, but then you kind of go, do our schedules even match?
Yeah, then you
are
never
we just in a marriage or a relationship?
Yeah, but
just
sometimes
like,
that's good.
Boxes checked, but I don't really care.
Yeah.
Sometimes that's good, though. Like, I was married to a musician, and he was gone half the time. And some parts of that were great, and some parts of it were awful, because absence really did make the heart grow fonder. Every time he'd come back, he'd be, like, magical for a little while. But I will say when someone travels a lot, it's like they leave town, you get used to being like on your own. Then they come back and you're like, oh, this motherfucker's back again. And then they leave
again.
Yeah,
I got to pay
for the shit in my shit
again. Right. Like you get used to them being gone and then, you know, you feel like you're single and then they come back and you're like, I guess I can't fuck guys in your bed. I'm kidding. I'm totally kidding. I never cheated. That's a joke. Well, listen, I love you guys for doing this.
I love you.
Love you.
I'm a new love.
I don't know what you talked about while I was gone, and that's the joy of podcasting that I'll find out when the listeners find out.
Right.
But you guys are amazing, and tell the people where they can find you.
Oh, you can find me at shaymatash.com. That's spelled shaymatash.com. And the thing is, you know, people always say Daniel Tosh. No, it's not T-O-S-H.
No.
T-A-S-H.
You look nothing like Daniel Tosh.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
He's cute, though.
He's very cute.
He probably would look cute in a dress.
I'd kiss him. I wouldn't even be gay. It'd be awesome.
Bron, where can people find you?
You can find me at bronston.com, B-R-O-N-S-T-O-N.com.
Wow.
There's links on there to whatever social media you like. Yeah, and just, you know, hopefully you'll find me on Kate's Bed.
Yes. You know, you never know. If you ever quit comedy, I think we could be a really good couple.
I'm not funny.
You are funny. He's very funny.
He is funny.
Guys, you know you can find me everywhere at KateQFunny, KateQuigley.com, TinderTrauma.com, blah, 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 blah. I love you. This has been Date Fails. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Mwah.